My friend Austin Lane, SIU Chancellor, joining me this morning. Austin, first off, pal, it's good to talk to you again. You been well? Yeah, been good. Some reason or another, we're missing Austin this morning. Austin, you there?
Hey, I'm here.
There we go.
Good morning.
Hey, first off, it's good to talk to you again.
It is great to hear from you.
You know,
as always,
I want to start off with something because you're doing something, and I'm going to pick a name out of the hat here because he's been a good friend of mine for many years, Paul Echols, who's just a great asset to Southern Illinois Cross. You're giving him a special service award, a distinguished service award at SIU, and I did not want this interview to go by without Paul being mentioned. He's been a guest on this show and a friend of mine for almost 30 years.
Oh, wow. You know what? I didn't know that, so it makes it even better.
All right.
So, you know, when we give those honors out, we don't take them lightly. And so the service that he's provided, it does not go unnoticed. We're excited that he's in that lineup. We have some incredible distinguished alums and honorary degree folks that are out here, distinguished service. And so that's a Hall of Fame category. And it's even better to know that you know him.
You know,
I did not know that.
What I find interesting is Paul is a good example of recycling. And your people recycle. What do you mean? You've got a person who's learned a lot at the job, and then he comes back to the classroom to teach it, and he keeps going forward on that. So you've taken this resource, and he's a force multiplier.
Oh, yeah. Totally agree.
But you know
that makes our community better, and that's part of why we look to folks when we look at distinguished service. And, you know, Larry Dietz is another one who started here and went on to be president of Illinois State, but he's a Saluki. So it's just really good to take care of home and to make sure that folks know that we recognize and appreciate their efforts.
You know, well, at the same time, Matt Baumann, who you and I, you know, I love Matt. I've known Matt since he was a little boy. And talk about expectations being met and exceeded.
Oh, yeah.
He learned at the foot of Paul Simon. I mean, and on the list goes Dr. Jackson. And I knew he was a heck of a resource for you when you came online.
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you, I would not have made it this far without Matt. You know, Matt knew where everything was. Matt knew all of the social, political, you name it, Matt knew about it and had the history. You know, it was like a walking history book, and I guess hanging with but Dr. Jackson, you become that, but just a great, great guy. Loved him as my chief, still love him. And, you know, his family, great family. You know, he's got Alex, you see him out there on the basketball court. I'm sure he'll be out there tonight and helping Coach Mullins out. So just overall, Josh, his wife, Angela, they're all great people. And they have really helped me tremendously. So, big loss for us. You know, it's really hard to fill his shoes because he's been here so long, and you know, he's lived through a lot of different chancellors here too. So you know, I knew when I came in that he was going to be not only a right hand man but left hand too. You know, he's going to be both of them.
Yeah, a really good guy personally, and quite frankly, I enjoy his I've never seen him lose his temper.
No, he's always cool.
Yeah,
and it's always cool.
And I'm one of those guys that is smart. I mean, not very, very smart, but I am smart enough to recognize character traits in other people that I'm envious of. You know, I'm like, you know,
I wish I could see that.
I wish I could. I could take a little of that. You know, all at the same time, Mike Reese. You know, he and I worked together for years, and you know, and his retirement has drawn so much attention back to the sports program. I mean, even now, people are texting in about the sports program here right now.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, I mean, yeah. I kind of look at this way. When you look at SIU and try to go to, you know, 100,000 feet and look, these are the people that are the you can have it's only a building until you put people in it.
That's right.
And
that's right.
And then once you have that right, I mean, I always think about this as Buckminster Fuller, you know, because he's a good example of if you've got the right person in the right spot, what it can do for the university as a whole. You know, I've always thought maybe, you know, if we could get, you know, some, I don't know who that person would be, maybe Degrassi or somebody like that to move here and be part of the alum of what that would mean for the university on a national scale for enrollment, for prestige, for academia.
Oh, yeah. We have so many folks. You mentioned Mike, and he had a wonderful ceremony the other night at the basketball game, and seeing the history up on the board and how long he's been doing this. But what touched me was how many people he touched. You know, he just touched a lot of people. So when they had all the interviews of the sportscasters that were out there, they were from all over the country.
Yep.
I had no idea he knew all those folks, and they spoke very highly of him. And what I was thinking as I was watching that, I thought, wow, what exposure for Southern Illinois University, man. I mean, that was perfect. And so all of those folks who know about Mike are going to be talking about our institution and the storied programs that we have here. And to your point, yeah, building Vanterra is just Vanterra unless you put the people in it.
Yeah, and I think I think those people that Mike and Matt and Paul have had contact with, those are the apostles. They carry the gospel of SIU out across this country.
Yeah, those guys are they're ambassadors. You know, they you mentioned enrollment and those kinds of things. When we're out there and people know we've got this kind of a history, we've got this kind of track record of success, and you know, yeah, we've had some ups and downs, but we sure can show that we've got some grit and we've got some fight in us, and you know, we won't just give up. And I think that's the spirit of a Saluki. I think that's how we attract more to our institution, and most importantly, keep those students in the area, keep them home. You know, they should want to be a part of what's going on here in their backyard.
Yeah. And, you know, and what that we've seen for people who've gone out in the world, appreciate what happened and how they've supported the university in return. This created that recycling. I used that term before because it's exactly what it is. Now, on the subject of money, I don't know much about this. I need your help. Mm-hmm. There was a $38 million loan or a shift of money from SIUE to SIUC, and now SIUC is paying it back. Have I got that right, Austin?
No, that's terribly wrong.
Okay.
So that's been the myth. We never borrowed any money from SIUE, our sister institution. This is before I arrived, but the budget impasse in 2015 really impacted this. As you know, the state did not have a budget. The state appropriations were cut significantly for SIU Carbondale. And what happened is the university had to go into its own pocket to the tune of $38 million, which depleted the reserves of the institution. And when you didn't have tuition revenue because enrollment was down, it just compounded and made it worse. So the board at that time and the leadership that was here submitted what they called a 7-year sustainability plan. It was a financial sustainability plan. So in 2017, it was created and basically just said that each year the university would pay itself back, right, till we got down to zero. To date, we've gone from $38 million down to $12 million. And this year, we're really hopeful to knock off about another $6 million of that. So we have 1 year on it where we would pay it off. And then we can begin to build our reserve back up again. So unlike most places you probably read in reading out there, University of Arizona and some other places, they've got $250 million worth of uncovered dollars. So, you know, you don't want to have anything out there, but for us to be right at $12 million, knocking it down to $6 million and then finishing it off, you know, in another year or so, that's the idea. It's what we've been working on for the last several years.
So the vast majority have paid off in 8 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the idea. Now, there's not a lot of play. Now, the only way we can do that is because we had some of those enrollment increases, right? So it helped the tuition revenue, and we also had the state appropriation increase. We went from about 101 to 106 million. We've got about a $3.1 million tuition revenue increase this year because of enrollment. So all those things have to happen. You know, we gave out some raises this year to our faculty and to our staff. You know, we've got contracts negotiated, so we're in a really good place there, but we still have to treat it almost like your home checkbook, right? You've got to still balance your own budget and make sure you live within your means, and that's the idea here.
Okay, so the $38 million was actually, we're moving it from the front pocket to the back pocket,
the
front,
there
right?
There you go.
That's more. Yeah. Well, yeah, well, that's I'm a country boy. You know, you got your drinking and gambling money in your front pocket. You got drinking money in the front pocket, gambling money in the back. All right, that way you keep those two separated. That's how
keep
we did
separated.
That. Yeah. Now here's a tough one. As I'm wondering about your experience because you know this is one of the things I learned talking with your staff, And I think you're heading this once again into Chicago this week for more attempts at enrollment and working programs, right? I'm correct, I think, right?
Yes, yes. We've got a couple of, let's see some donors, and we've also got a couple of other agreements at university centers up there with community colleges that we're firming up.
All right. So there's this sense of urgency out there when it comes to America looking to our schools for employees. While at the same time, SIU is a research university. It's academia. And if I was to use the word vocational in some cases, somebody might even be a little, we're not a vocational school. Well, every school's a vocational school in one capacity or another. You know, I mean, if you want to argue about it, I'd be willing to. But how can you, as a chancellor, you know, have these two things exist and give them the priority that they deserve? Because I know you're hearing the pressure in one form or another. We need workers. We need employees. We need whatever it is, right? So can academia and vocational school, can they coexist?
Oh, gosh, yes. So I you remember, I was a community college president for several years. The beauty of higher education is you have a number of different avenues to help students. So number one, our partnerships with Logan, Shawnee, Wren Lake, they handle the bulk of what you're going to see in the workforce as it relates to machining, welding, any certificate programs where students want to get to work immediately and get that associate's degree. If they want to transfer to us, then obviously that we make it very seamless for them to do so. And so community colleges typically will handle the workforce programs. They'll also handle the gen ed programs that transfer to us. But then to be able to come to a university, give an example, Tom, in 2025, and this is going to be a very bold statement, but we see the numbers. They changed the modifications. We're an R2 high research university. The modifications changed in November of 2023 to now $50 million in research expenditures is one metric, and 70 doctorates is what you have to offer. Well, we're right there right now. So that means we're going to become an R1 university. Within our strategic plan, we wanted to get there by 2025, and imagine SIU 2030. We're going to get there in 2025, and you're not going to have another R1 high research or very high research university within several miles of us. As a matter of fact, you'd have to go up to the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign to find another R1. In this region, there will not be another R1 except us. So think about Southern Illinois and R1, Southern Illinois' R1 university, right? Research university right here in our own backyard. You can't get that from universities around us, and I won't mention any names. I don't want to be, I don't want to get anybody to call me and jump on me. But if we're sticking our chest out there a little bit, that would be a huge accomplishment. As you know, we used to be R1 years ago. Right? We're trying to get right back there, and we will by 2025.
And there are so many things to do in that area. I've talked to past chancellors about this as well, because I get excited about the research that's done at SIU. Yeah. Here's the other thing. I try to get other people excited about it, too. And it works when they find out it is. That's the secret.
That's right.
You know, and they're going, we do that at SIU? Yeah, did you know we're doing ginseng research with cancer? We're doing, I mean, whatever it is, right? Advanced energy. I mean, this new thing of allowing agriculture and solar panels to work together after a trip to Europe. I mean, there's all these other things. But see, it comes right back down to it again, Austin. That trip, that wasn't only just research and seeing how other people do it. There's a vocational aspect to it. You know, if you see them together. Now, here's another problem that I have, and I need your help. I literally played back a portion of the interview last time you and I spoke of you saying $103,000, no tuition.
Yes.
People didn't believe me. They still don't believe me. They don't believe me.
It's hard to believe it or not. It's very hard to believe. You know, I'll just tell you now, we have several students, by the way, for this incoming class that are believing it because they're taking advantage of it. And I can't stress enough. If your combined household income is $103,000 and below, you're going to come here with your tuition covered. I don't know how. As a matter of fact, if they don't believe me, tell their son or daughter to apply and just test it out.
Well, I was just going to give him your cell phone number, so.
Yeah, just do it. Well,
that'll I'll teach you.
You have it, right?
I do.
You run into anybody that is a non-believer, just say, you know what, just call this guy.
Well, that's the problem, Austin. Everybody's a non-believer.
Well, we got to change that.
And, yeah, and
folks,
I said the same thing.
The receiving it or believing it, right? They're the ones that took advantage of it. And even when they're taking advantage of it, they still can't believe it either when they get their award letters and things like that. They go, wow. So that really is part of the Saluki commitment. It's real.
Yeah.
We wouldn't put it out there if it was not. So, and we upped it.
Well, I brought people in the control room. I brought people into the control room, and they go, no, that's not true. Well, just let me play. And they're still, well, then how come I don't know that? Well, yeah, you just did. Well, I just played it for you. I mean, you know it now. And they're still questioning whether, and boy, I'll tell you, there comes a point where you question my material, and I get kind of petulant.
Yeah, I know it's hard to believe. If you don't believe me, and this is nothing new. So I hate to mention this, but, you know, look at some of the other universities that they call them Promise, the Illinois Promise, and some of these other things. It's the same thing. If you look at their marks, they're right at about 103, 113. It's not just us doing it here at SIU Carbondale. I will say that. It's happening at other universities as well. Maybe that'll make it more believable.
Maybe.
Because it is happening at other places, too.
Hey, we just got a question about your my portion of the conversation. We were talking about regaining that R2 status, SIU.
R1.
All right. I just got a text from Mike on the American Monument text line asking how many R1s are there. Do you know?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, so in our state, I'll just go with our state. That'll probably make it more appropriate because they're probably close to 200 some odd out there. But in our state, the only public R1 universities in this state, University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, University of Illinois, Chicago, then it would be us.
Wow.
Think about that.
That's great.
Think about that. Those are public. The privates, if you throw private R1s in there, you've got Northwestern, right? You've got the University of Chicago, and I think I'm probably missing one more. But those are the private R1s in this state, so it really puts us in a dominant position when you think about Southern Illinois, having an R1 university, and I tell Jeff Harmon, you know, our billboard when this happens is going to be Southern Illinois Research University. I mean, that's what we will be.
I don't know how you can be more prestigious.
That's off to our faculty, and that's right.
Yeah, I don't know how you can be more prestigious than that, right?
I don't either. I mean, you're not going to find that, like I said, within a couple of hours from us, right? If you go south, you'd have to go as far as geographically. If you go south of us, you'd have to go as far as University of Memphis to find an R1.
Yeah.
Just think about that for a second, right? Yeah, if you're going east or north, south, you'd have to go to University of Louisville. So, you know, I'm just pointing out institutions where sometimes we like to rank ourselves with, but they're not in our ranking.
Yeah, well, I've got another question.
I'll leave it right there, right?
All right. Quite frankly, I love the research aspect of SIU. It's one of my favorites. Oh, yeah. I've got probably in my library somewhere where I used to do what's called the SIU Research Minute, where every week we did another aspect of research at SIU. That's where I really got a lot deeper into it. All right, here's a question from Dennis. We were talking about the $103,000 household, right? Well, his question is, well, how does SIU get paid for those free tuitions?
Oh wow! You got some intelligent listeners.
We do.
I love talking to you. So, what happens for us to be able to do that? The state of Illinois just this last session increased two critical categories. One is the MAP grant. Okay, the MAP grant gets students thousands of dollars that we utilize because they're eligible for it because they fit within that $103,000 and below. The other category is Aim High. And the other category is any types of grants they may receive from the federal government. So you've got three pockets that are actually being applied towards the students who are eligible because of their family household income. We found a year ago that $63,500 and below was not enough. It was not enough for teachers in this area. It was not enough for nurses and folks that had families. It wasn't going to them because they didn't show a great amount of need. So we lifted it to 103 to catch or cast a wider net. So you've got middle SES families that are out there now that are going to be eligible, right, for their son or daughter to be able to go to school here without that charge. So that was the whole idea, is that, you know, before it was just catching more of a lower socioeconomic student, you know, and not catching, let's say, a family that, you know, they weren't rich, but they also weren't at a lower SES category. So that casting of that web helped us do it. Those grants, those state grants, they went up last year, helping us significantly to be able to close that gap, because those students are going to be eligible, right, for those MAP grants, AIM High, and then even some of the federal grants. So that's the formula on how we make that work.
Hey, I tell you, I've got to let you go, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
Dr. Austin Lane, Chancellor of SIU, but I do want to hope you'll indulge me in the briefest possible sense, your goals for 2024 as chancellor.
Well, you know, it's always number one enrollment. You know, we're always shooting. We're working hard right now to get that number up. Spring enrollment is up. That's a great thing. Jerry, my guy Jerry told me, hey, say something positive. Overall this spring, we've got 4% increase in enrollment. That hadn't happened here for a number of years. Actually, back in 2007, 2008, we had about a 0.7% increase. So think about it now. We're at 4% increase. It hadn't happened in a number of years. Our new first-time in college student enrollment has increased. Our transfer student enrollment, thanks to John A. Logan out there, Kirk, and Dr. Taylor, and Dr. Wilkerson, those guys help us tremendously in feeding us here with great students. So all around, our graduate student population increased like you wouldn't believe. You know, again, it's hard to believe when you look at these numbers, but our graduate student population is up 8.3% for our master's students. And so that's a really big deal for us. So, you know, that's the number one goal, in addition to retention of not only our students, but our faculty and staff. We got a great group of folks that work here that love it here, and we just want to make it better for them every year. We're always looking to do that so we can keep our talent here at home.
SIU Chancellor Austin Lane.